From the land of Grand Hyatt University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 29th day of March, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Greg Johnson will be here from the Andersons to discuss the cash grain situation. We'll review last week's Hogs and Pigs report and look forward to the prices of that commodity with Jason Franken of WIU, the Western Illinois University, where he's an ag economist, and we'll take up the weather forecast, too. That all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today at $5.46¾, down 5¾. December futures at $4.61¼, 5¼ lower. That July contract right there in the center, old crop, down 4½ at $5.31¼. Soybeans at $13.93, 7½ cents lower. July at $13.85¼, down 6. And November at $12.04½, down 2¾. Bean meal down $5.90 at $3.98.10, and bean oil up 48 cents at $52.96 for the day. July wheat at $6.12, 2¾ higher a bushel, and the hard red at $5.75½, up a penny for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $120.97½, 87½ higher. Feeders at $147.75, down or rather up $1.95, and lean hogs at $100.37½, 42½ cents higher. Crude oil futures up 51 cents a barrel at $61.47. Diesel fuel just about unchanged at $1.81¼. And the wholesale price of gasoline now at $1.99¾. That's up 2¾ cents. We're joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, to discuss what took place in Chicago. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. What's your take on the futures market?
Oh, boy. It seems like it's hurry up and wait. For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking forward to this quarterly grain stocks report and the March 31st acreage intentions report. Like to hurry up and get this thing put to bed here, see the numbers, then we can focus on spring weather, summer weather, and future demand. For the most part, overnight activity was soft. It got softer as we moved into the meat of our trade here today. This morning's export inspections report showed we shipped out about 302,000 tons of wheat. That was below trade expectations. Corn shipments about 1.7 million metric tons. That was kind of at the upper end of expectations. And the soybean shipments was 425,000 tons. It was kind of in the middle upper end of the range. And that was about the only real new news we saw. Funds were sellers. Going into midday, they sold about 7,000 contracts of corn, about 8,000 contracts of beans. They've been lightening the load on the long side here, so it'd be interesting here as we keep moving forward if that trend continues or not. But for the most part, world weather seems to be somewhat favorable. A little more moisture in Argentina, a little less moisture in Brazil, so the harvest activity continues to scoot right along. Fundamentally, bean oil was able to kind of hold together here and reverse up. We saw buying oil, sell meal, putting that spread back on. The key is kind of world vegetable oil market. If we can see some recovery there, that should help our soybean oil complex. And also hopefully spill into the soybean futures themselves. Technically, took out or found some stops under last week's lows. Then we were able to bounce off those lows fairly good. In fact, beans were just about unchanged late in the session here, but we saw some long liquidation going into the close. So kind of got to keep an eye on today's lows. It's a little lower than last week's lows. If we can kind of hold here, maybe we can continue to build on this long-term sideways pattern that we've established here over time. Thursday morning's export sales report will be the next market maker after Wednesday. Trade estimates for Wednesday, average grain stocks for corn is expected to be about 7.7 billion bushels. bean's about 1.5. The bean number's quite a bit lower from last year. The bean number could be up or down a little bit. There's still talk of maybe beans in transit here in December. So I don't know if that's going to fluctuate the numbers a whole lot, but that could be the wild card there if there's any one way or the other. Otherwise, acreage, corn acreage has grown quite a bit since the outlook form. Outlook form projected 92 million acres. Last year, we were about 90.8. The average straight guess is about 93. There's some estimates as high as 94.5. A year ago, we were about 97. We lost quite a few of those intentions as we started moving into the spring on that part. Soybean estimate, the average straight guess is 89.99, just shy of 90 million acres, which was the outlook form estimate. So we're fairly close there. A year ago, we were at 83, so bean acres expected to be up 7 million acres. We're going to find more acres total. At these prices, and if you go back in history, when we're at these prices or higher, we kind of bring acreage back in. We find those acres, just as when prices were back down in those lows we saw for the last 6 years, acres shrank somewhat. So how big, we're fixing to find out come Wednesday here, Todd.
The Hogs and Pigs report last week was bullish for the hog market, and we'll hear more about that from Jason Franken at Western Illinois University in just a bit. However, I'm wondering, because it was bullish because the numbers were down year over year on the size of the herd and on what can be expected later in the year. Do you suppose that will have an impact on the grain stocks numbers?
Well, feed usage has been high. True feed usage has been high. When you look at feed usage over the years, a lot of the trade does not realize it's kind of a miscellaneous category for the most part. But true feed usage is high, you know, until the hog pig report. Overall livestock numbers, hogs, cattle, poultry, pheasants, quail, whatever, all these numbers have been high. And true feed usage is strong. The weights we're feeding are higher. The only thing that, you know, messed things up a little bit was some of the adverse weather we saw here this winter. But when you look at the overall profitability of the hogs, I mean, we got leans at $1.05, and, you know, that's, you know, we're talking some fairly good returns. And so I imagine what the fewer hogs we have, we'll feed the heavier weights. But the hog markets should stay strong, less numbers. We've seen the continued week after week, a strong export sales report for the pork side of it, and even on the beef side. So as long as the livestock sector can stay profitable, the next hog and pig report might show some stability in those numbers. When we look at the overall atmosphere in the pork complex.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. And there at 11 o'clock on Wednesday morning of this week, you'll be able to see the results from the USDA's Prospective Plantings and Grain Stocks report. The grain stocks are as of March 1st and tally how much corn and soybeans is left in the bin from last year, both on the farm and off the farm. And the prospective plantings is a survey of some 80,000 farmers across the nation and what they expect in terms of acreage this year for corn, soybeans, and all other crops. Cultural news, Asia experts do not expect an early Biden administration trade deal with individual nations, and they cite one country as an example. Scott Harold with the RAND Defense Research Group says not in the cards for Taiwan.
The politics of trade probably mean that we're not looking at this until a latter half of the first term, or if the president is reelected, then a second term issue.
Taiwan is less of a priority for the United States than the members of the Comprehensive Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is the multilateral deal that 11 Pacific nations struck after former President Donald Trump pulled the U.S. out of the TPP. And this all, of course, comes despite having a new U.S. trade representative, Catherine Tai, and she has Taiwanese roots.
We obviously just got a USTR confirmed. Her family comes originally from China, but she was born in Taiwan, and so should have a good understanding of Taiwan's place in the world.
Let's stay with trade for a moment. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack last Friday gave his take on Mexico's announced plan to ban GM or genetically modified corn imports. Gary Crawford has more from USDA.
What's this about Mexico banning imports of genetically modified corn?
It's important for us to understand precisely what Mexico has suggested they are thinking of doing.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack telling a National Press Club event that,
based on my conversations recently with Secretary Villalobos, who is the Secretary of Agriculture in Mexico, the importation only relates to corn used for food products. It does not include corn used in feed.
As far as how the U.S. is going to handle the proposed ban on GM corn by Mexico of whatever type,
there is a process under the USMCA for raising these issues and having these conversations.
Vilsack said he's been talking about that process with the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Let's stay with corn exports for just a minute. Corn sales to overseas buyers jumped higher over the seven-day period, ending March the 18th. China was the big buyer, of course, at 3.89 million metric tons. South Korea was next with 353,300 metric tons, followed by Mexico, who was in third place at 196,000 tons. Exports totaled just over 2 million metric tons, down about 7% week over week. And finally today, the EPA has stated a position on RFS exemptions before the Supreme Court. The Environmental Protection Agency filed a brief with the Supreme Court last week that lays out its new position on the renewable fuel standard. A DTN report says the brief covered EPA's view of the scope and purpose of the RFS, stating that three refiners who received RFS exemptions in 2017 and 2018 did not qualify for them. The U.S. Court of Appeals in Denver ruled that the agency violated the law when it granted the exemption during the Trump administration. The January 2020 ruling led biofuel groups to push the former administration to apply the rule nationally. The EPA brief also says the fewer refiners would be eligible for extensions if the law is followed. The Trump EPA granted 88 small refinery exemptions between 2016 and 2020. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Well, this past week, USDA's Hogs and Pigs report was bullish, at least for the hog market. The March Hogs and Pigs report showed total U.S. inventory at 74.8 million head. Now, that's 3% lower than last quarter and almost 2% less than last year at this time. Agricultural economist Jason Franken from Western Illinois University notes it is the first time since 2014 for a year-over-year decline. And he says not only are there fewer hogs in the nation's herd now, there are fewer than expected coming later in the year, too.
Spring and summer farrowing intentions are down 2.5% and 4.2% respectively from actual farrowings last year compared to expectations of less than a percent lower for each. These numbers should similarly imply somewhat smaller slaughter numbers in subsequent periods.
Again, USDA's March Hogs and Pigs report showed fewer animals in the herd now and the expectations for fewer in the future. Not only that, but the pounds of pork in cold storage facilities, well, that's been on the decline too, says the WIU ag economist.
There still appears to be plenty of room in cold storage. According to the USDA cold storage report, cold stocks of pork on February 28th are up 7% from the previous month, but down 24% from a year ago. Poultry stocks are down 3% from the prior month and 14% from a year ago, while beef is down 2% from the prior month, but up 3% from last year.
So there's less red meat in cold storage today than last year at this time. Meanwhile, USDA expects the average American will eat more pork this year than last. In fact, its projection is 52.5 pounds a person. That would be the highest number since 1981 when it was 54.2 pounds. And Franken says it reflects strong demand.
With continued strong grocery store demand and further prospects for restaurant reopenings as more U.S. citizens are vaccinated against COVID-19, The domestic market looks promising.
The export market for pork, at least recently, has been a bit sluggish with decreased shipments to China, Hong Kong, and Mexico. However, U.S. pork exports to other Asian and Latin American countries are up for the start of 21. Still, the USDA estimates total U.S. pork exports for the first quarter of 2021 to be about 1.825 billion pounds, or 10% below last year, although things are expected to pick up in the second and third quarters.
Taking all this into account, there is the possibility of profitable hog prices in 2021 if feed costs don't rise too high. In general, hog prices tend to be higher in the second and third quarter with lower prices in the first and fourth quarters. And consistent with this pattern, this forecast places second quarter prices at about $78.80 a hundredweight, rising to $80.08 a hundredweight by the third quarter and dropping to $70.33 a hundredweight for the fourth quarter of 2021, and then places it at $68.45 a hundredweight for the first quarter of 2022.
Franken says his projections are consistent with the strong demand and short supply observed right now. If hog supply turns out to be greater than anticipated, or if demand falters, well, then lower prices may be realized. Let's check in with the folks at the Andersons now to see what's been happening in the cash grain market. We're joined by Greg Johnson. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the local area, what farmers are thinking, what they've been doing, and what basis is like.
Farmers have not been selling much of anything. They sold too much in their minds last year too early, so this year they're holding off on making any more old crop sales or making any new crop sales at all. So cash movement has been extremely slow over the last, several weeks, really. And I think they're all gearing up towards getting into the field. We've had a little bit of rain, quite a bit of rain, actually, the last couple of weeks. But it's so dry prior to that that I think one good week of dry weather and warm weather, and we think we could maybe go the second week of April if the conditions warrant. So farmers are focusing on getting into the field, probably not focusing on selling anything, and so basis levels are basically steady. The big news, of course, is the old crop, new crop spreads. They've been inverting as of for the last several weeks, but here finally we may have gotten to a point where maybe enough is enough. We're starting to see the old crop, new crop spread start to break ever so slightly, not a lot, but maybe we've gotten to a point where farmers or at least the cash grain owners are moving a little bit of corn at these 15 cent inverses.
Essentially that means the old crop corn in the bin on the farm won't move for at least a couple of months, more than likely. However, farmers would have the opportunity, if they decided to take advantage of it, to move some new crop corn, or at least put that on the books.
It is, and with the whole growing season ahead of us and the fact that we need probably 7 to 8 million more acres of beans, I don't think that these are the levels that farmers really want to get real aggressive on beans, new crop beans, yet. In fact, if we sell off because of a negative report, that might be maybe time to buy some courage calls for eventual new crop sales for both corn and beans later on. So we'll see what the numbers say and how negative they are, how many more acres of corn we're going to plant. That one could be a little negative, but the beans, it's hard to imagine that we're going to get more than 7 or 8 million more acres of beans. And even if we do, then we have to have good weather on top of that. So I would say that farmers may want to look at seeing if we see a sell-off, maybe looking to buy a few calls.
Hey, on one other subject, and I don't know whether you will have an opinion or whether the Andersons will have thought about this, other than it does impact availability of train cars. The consolidation of a couple of lines this past week, does that make any difference? Is it runs now from Canada to Mexico?
Yeah, I know they. I don't know if there's an official opinion that the Andersons have. I know that the railroads are trying to play this off, or present this as more efficient movement, one-stop shopping, basically. But it's been my opinion that over the years, anytime you have a merger and consolidation, you have less competition, and so usually the rates, rail rates, eventually go higher. So that would be my guess at this point. As a result of this, we'll probably see higher rail rates, which means, higher cost of shipping grain from point A to point B.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with the Andersons. Usually on Mondays, we talk with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago about the weather forecast. He's out of the office today. However, I do have this quick look at some of the growing regions around the planet. We'll start in Iowa, where they'll be in the 70s today, but drop down to 43 for the high by Wednesday. Their lows will be down around 40 to 30 for a good portion of the week. And then they'll jump back up by the time we get to Saturday. Some sunshine and 82 degrees. That's in Des Moines, Iowa. And it will stay that way over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Their lows through that period in the low 50s to the mid 60s. Similar for Springfield, Illinois, the last part of the week, Saturday, Sunday, and then into Monday of next week, 81 and 80 degrees for the high. But we'll be in the 60s for a couple of days this week, 40s and almost 50 on Wednesday and Thursday. Sunshine through the whole period. Lincoln, Nebraska, actually almost 90 degrees over the weekend, 88 on Sunday for their three-day high then. Their lows all the way back down to about 60 degrees through that period, so should have some warming soil temperatures across a large part of the Midwest. Even Minnesota in Minneapolis will be 81 degrees on Sunday this weekend. The lows, though, much cooler overnight, with 40s for their lows for the most part over that weekend period. Indianapolis, 77 for the high on Sunday. That's as high as they'll get at that time. And if we go back to Fargo, North Dakota, 86 degrees for their high on Sunday. So the farmers in that part of the world will be anxious to get moving. Going to South America, Mato Grosso, much warmer, 89 today, 92, 92, 95, 88, 94 Saturday, 97 Sunday. And get this temperature in Mato Grosso on Monday of next week. The prediction right now, 100 degrees, with lows all the way back in the 70s through that period. And if you go a little further to the south in Rosario, Argentina, they'll be in the very upper 70s, low 80s for their highs all week. Sunshine, no rainfall at all in that forecast there. Or in Cordoba, where they'll be a bit warmer, but not by much. And the lows will be in the mid-50s for both of those areas. One final look into Ukraine as they get into the beginning of their growing season as well. 50s this week, early on for the highs. And they'll stay that way all week long. A little rainfall in their forecast, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. However, their lows will drop all the way back in Kiev to the mid-30s by the weekend. And that's a look at the growing regions of the planet. Thanks for joining us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.